Thank the Lord to be here. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Lord, we thank you for that song, and we pray, Lord, that you would be the one that our spirits yield to this morning, dear God. We desire you to have your place, Lord. We desire to worship you, love you, and honor you. Please bless in this time, God, we pray. By your spirit, lead and direct. This is your word. It's your spirit's place to direct it, Lord. Please have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I do appreciate that song very much. I feel like it's, as the Lord gave this message, I felt a need in the midst of it to have a balance and to understand what the Lord was saying, and I feel like that song reminds us that it's the Lord we worship. It's the Lord that we're ultimately in submission to. This morning, the Lord has given us a burden about submission, and I think back to last week, maybe, how we talked about authority in the church, and the Lord gave a message about that. And this is kind of something that, again, is maybe a theme of what happens in the church, how we get along, how we interact with each other in terms of submission to each other. In the midst of that, the balance that we need is to understand that this is not, we are in submission to the Lord. That's who we worship. That's who we follow. In the midst of doing that, it will call for us to have an act of submission towards each other in order for us to be what God is wanting us to be. And ultimately, that submission that we have in the right place and the right way to each other is a submission to God. If it becomes something else, then it's not what God created it to be. So I want us, as we go through it, to remember the song we sang, and there will be some verses that allude to that too. But as we submit one to another, realize that's the ultimate submission to God is what we're looking for there, that no man would be the one controlling things. So let's look at some examples of Jesus. Now, who do we submit to? Who is our submission? Who is our worship to? Who is the authority in our life? It's Jesus, right? It's God. So the Lord is who he was. When he came down to earth, he didn't stop being the Lord. He came and he was made flesh, and he was a man who walked on the earth, but he was still Lord. He said one place to the disciples, who said, "You call me Lord, you say it well. You call me master." You know, that those things are true. I am your master. I am your Lord. So as we look at Jesus in some ways that he submitted himself to others, he didn't relinquish the fact that he was Lord. In fact, the person that he was working in a little bit of submission to was actually someone who would, if they were where they need to be, would worship him as Lord and Savior as he completed the task and recognize him. So we want to understand that, and I hope we've made that clear as we talk about this. And so we want to look at some examples of Jesus and how he chose to have a submission towards someone else in situations here in life, never relinquishing the fact that he was Lord and Savior over all. So if we look in Luke, the second chapter, and we'll look at the story here, how that when they, his parents and he had gone to Jerusalem, and they left and were heading back home, and they went several days, and where's Jesus? We thought he was somewhere in the train. We can't find him anywhere. So they headed back to Jerusalem to try to find him. And they were looking everywhere for him. And then they finally found him in the temple, if you remember the story. And he was talking with the teachers and the scribes and amazing them because he had such a knowledge. Well, he was Lord. He was the one that all the scriptures talked about. Of course he knew the scriptures. All right? And he understood why he was there and what he was doing in that moment, from things we see here that we're about to read. But his parents say, "Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Jesus, why did you do this? You knew you should have been on that train. You knew you should have been not on the train, but the train of the caravan that was going back to where they lived. And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business?" So Jesus was doing what he came to do. He was, as we read this, the Lord was not in error, off somewhere doing something he wasn't supposed to do. He was doing what he was sent here for, and showing that. But let's read what it says in the next verse. It says, they understood not the saying which he spake unto them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in his heart. So Jesus, doing what he was supposed to be doing in the temple, exhibiting who he was, making that manifest in a way to these people, although they didn't quite understand it yet. But yet he said, I'm going to submit myself to you, and I'm going to go back with you. And he made a pattern. You know, like we said, we say it sometimes, we don't understand. The Lord could have come as a king who was in subjection to nobody. God could have sent him down here like that. He chose to send him this way. So he didn't send him this way because Jesus couldn't have been Lord any other way. He was Lord. But he sent him this way to show us and be an example for us that the captain of our sufferings would be somebody who has lived the life that he's now asking us to live. And he would show us by example. So when we see things, there's a message in this to us, is why it's here. That the Lord was doing everything he was supposed to. He knew the scriptures better than anybody around him. And yet he submitted themselves to those people who were truly his servants. That he was going to save, that he was Lord of. But in this situation, what it called for was a submission. And so he showed us, this is what you do. And he submitted himself. And he went with them. And it says, his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. That's, you know, in the eyes of the world, the things we do, they're never going to be understood. But as it matters, and as the path the Lord leads us on in life, we don't get it by just knowing the scriptures. If we could know them like Jesus, we still couldn't get what we need in life and be what we need to be and have the results that God's looking for out of our life unless we're willing to have this sort of submission like Jesus did. A submission where he yielded over all authority to those around him, put aside who he was and what he knew? No. In the midst of all that, he said, this is what my time in life calls for right now. This is what this situation calls for. It doesn't call for me to spout off all the scriptures about me being Lord as true as they are. It calls for me to submit myself to these two people, go where they're going, and be in that place for this time in my life. And so he was willing to do it and gave us an example there. Let's look at another place in John, the second chapter. I love this story, and something hit me, and I hear it all the time. We know it. This is his first miracle. But in light of the message today, it really hit me even more. His first miracle happens, and let's see how it happens here. Let's just read it. So John, the second chapter, the first verse says, and the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee. Now remember, he's still Lord. He's still ruler of the universe. He was there in the beginning. He didn't suddenly, at 30 years old, be like, oh, wait a minute, I was there with God in the beginning. The Lord knew who he was this whole time. He knew where he was from, and he knew what he knew. We have that proof from that time in the chapel. He didn't learn these things and just somehow God gave him acceleration in his thinking and his understanding. He knew it back there in the temple when his parents found him. He knew these things. All right? And he was who he was. All right? But it says here, it was the third day, and there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they, the people at the wedding, they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And of course, we get in a lot of sides. We can't hardly pass this without seeing this relationship and smiling at it and bringing us joy in our heart to think about that. But the point of it is here, she says this to him, and he saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. The grand scheme of things, the knowledge I have and who I am, it's not time for me yet. his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Why did she say that? We see several places Mary ponders these things in her heart, but she knew what the Lord, she knew what the angel had said to her. She knew who this was. She hadn't forgot all that and had been erased from her mind. But she also knew how he had lived. She knew when he knew who he was, and in that temple, knew he was doing his father's business, he came back and he stayed at home. And it says he was subject unto them. And she knew he had a respect to the fact that even though he was Lord and he was her ruler, that this child, how does it say, wonder of wonders, is yet, he's my Lord? It doesn't use those words, but she knew that as she was holding him. But she also knew that he was willing to take all of that and in the right manner submit to her wishes and to this situation and to this need that people had. And I believe she said, you know what? I know what he just said, but I also know him, and I know he's fixing to do this. I don't know. I'm putting a little bit in there. But the way she turned around and said, do whatever he tells you to do, she had confidence that Jesus was fixing to do this, even though he said, by the text and by the letter, it's not my time yet. And you know, that's what happens in the church. People get, you see splits. I'm telling you, it's happening right now. It's happened before, and it'll happen again. We get all this knowledge, and we're like, I don't want to say we're like a young college graduate who's never applied anything sometimes. I'll say it, that's the way God's brought it to me. All the knowledge is there, but we need to know how we're supposed to apply it as we work amongst each other. We have all the knowledge, and we believe that says, okay, now you have to do things the way I understand them to be. And this other person over here saying, you have to do things the way I understand them to be. This person saying, you have to do things the way I understand them to be. And in a lot of those situations, there's no real huge error in the knowledge. There are some times where there's error in knowledge. That's another ballgame. We're not talking about that. We're talking about places where people have good knowledge, but they built walls of separation because you have to do it like I understand it, sometimes to the nth degree. And so walls come up. Why? Because we got knowledge, but we're not using it in the manner and the spirit that God is telling us to. And that is the burden, that's heavy in the burden of the message today. Because that's what's going to happen if we don't have this proper type of submission with each other. This willingness to say, well, right now, here's what we need to do for this situation. You know what that takes? That takes me submitting a little bit of what is really me and what God's shown me in a way, in the right way. I've got to say that. We've got to understand we're not laying down things that we know or that we're supposed to do. But yet, while I'm doing what I know, how do I not just reject everybody who doesn't know exactly what I know the way I know it, whether they know more or less? How do I do that? I do it by submitting. It's a level of submission that God is calling for in order for his body to stay together. Maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It takes us being willing to have some yield in us in the right manner, not laying down things God has shown us to do, but how do we at the same time make it work with the rest of his children? All right? And so in this case, he said he went and he told them what to do, pour the oil and Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said, now draw out, bear unto the governor of the feast. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, said unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when the men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But you've kept the good wine until now. And this is the beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So there's a pattern here. Again, the Lord's not caught off guard. This happened. He knew. The Lord knew what was happening. God knew what was happening. He allowed it to happen this way. Why? For us to learn something about this particular issue and about the submission in the proper manner that we should have one to another and the respect for one another. All right? Matthew, the 17th chapter. Matthew 17 and 24. It says, and when they were come to Capernaum, this is talking about the disciples and Jesus, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? Peter said, yes. We talk about that too. That's a whole other issue. He didn't really know what he was talking about, but he was so nervous he had to give an answer. Saith, yes. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Now, it's interesting to me. Look at this story and see. Peter came back, and he had something in error based on what they were doing, which was in error. And so Jesus took Peter aside and said, well, now, hold on. Should we really be doing this? And Peter said to him, of strangers. And Jesus said to him, then are the children free. So Peter, you understand that this isn't right. This is not how they should be doing it. But notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast a hook, take up a fish that first cometh up, and when thou openest his mouth, take a piece of money, take and give it unto them for us. Peter, this isn't right, but here's what we do in this situation. Peter, this is not an out-and-out sin. We can submit ourselves in this manner, do what their expectations are, without laying down who we're supposed to be before the Lord and before God. So in this case, Peter, go and take this money and give it to the treasury. Give it to them, that we don't offend them. You know, that's a lesson. Once again, the Lord could have, what he told Peter was the truth. So if he had gone and told these people that, he would have been doing nothing but telling them truth. But it was time for some submission, was what the Lord showed us. Lord, help us to learn how to have that balance, to understand when it's a moment, not just to preach all the things we know and just demand a line that people measure up to or else, but to know how to maintain the bond, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And it takes this kind of submission in our lives. This is the lesson that the Lord wants, I believe, for us. All right. Now, we have one more story about Jesus before we go move to us a little bit. John 19. And says, this is Jesus before Pilate. And Pilate said unto him, speakest thou not unto... Well, okay. So the Jews, let's back up to 7. And the Jews said, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he hath made himself the Son of God. Well, Jesus didn't. He was the Son of God. All right. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Time and place for Jesus to just have said, if Jesus had lived his life into submission to whatever anybody ever asked him to do, he would not have been faithful to his call from the Lord. And here's a place where he couldn't give an answer. We don't know why. You know, in my mind, I think, what would it have changed? Pilate obviously had a respect to this. And if Jesus would have said, you know what, I am the Son of God, that's exactly the truth, what would have happened? Would Pilate have stopped everything and Jesus wouldn't have been offered? I assure you that whatever Jesus did, he did so that the plan of God for his life could happen and we could be saved. All right? And so he gave him no answer. And Pilate said to him, speakest thou not to me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? You know what? Pilate, I couldn't answer your first question, but this isn't an attitude thing. This is submission in the right way at the right time, and I'm going to answer this one for you. Pilate, you would have no power except God in heaven gave it to you. You have that power that you're talking about, but the only reason you have any power at all is because God gave it to you. And in it was a message to Pilate to consider that, Pilate, you're not who you are because you just are there. God has allowed you to be there. Make the right decision, you know. But at the same time, not just refusing to answer and for the sake of refusing. Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin. All right. So we have, I feel like, stories from Jesus' life now that we see a pattern there. Not just yielding himself to somebody else. I'm repeating myself a little bit before we move on to us. Because then he never would have been faithful. But it also didn't mean never answering questions, never submitting what was actually, well, submission in the right place in the right time. Let's say it that way, in the right way. All right, so let's look into some instructions to us. Romans 12. Romans 12 and the 18th verse says, if it be possible. So there is a qualifier to what we're talking about this morning. The Lord's not asking you to lay down what he has told you to do. He's not asking you not to be faithful to what you understand. But if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now we're going to read some verses specifically about some application of that. It doesn't cover the entire application, but it covers a place where we get in trouble with this aspect. You know what? Whether we have perceived faults or injuries from people, are they real? That's a huge place for us as Christians. A lot of times. It creates a situation where the devil a lot of times begins to make us feel justified about attitudes that we have and we have towards each other. And whether they're perceived or not, if we allow Satan to convince us of that, then we're going to stand in error before God and be against what he's telling us to do. And he alludes to that here. He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. And then he says, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So he throws that in and says, look, I understand. Well, let's say this another way, because that's still sometimes we climb on that with our little attitude and we just don't do anything, but we're still carrying an attitude towards somebody. All right? But what the Lord's really saying is, look, that's all my business. I understand. I see what happened. I know what happened. What do we know about the Lord? Is he sitting back waiting to pay somebody back for what's happened to you or what you think's happened to you in life? Is that who God is? No. But he understands it and he sees it and he knows what happened. That's what he's saying. But he's saying, get that out of the way. Leave that in my hands. And here's what you need to do. All right? If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. All right, we're going to read the next line, I promise, and we're going to talk about it, okay, in the right respect. But if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, drink. Look, be willing to submit your feelings, submit your thoughts about whether somebody's right or wrong, and just be who God called you to be. What did he call you to do? He called you to love and to forgive. Okay, that's what he called you to do. So put aside your feelings, put aside whatever it is, submit yourself to their injury, to their words. What does that mean? I'm just yielding myself completely to them? No, remember what Jesus did. He did what was necessary, the right kind of submission in the right place in the right way. I'm not approving. Jesus wasn't approving of what they did by calling a tax for the temple. He wasn't approving of what Pilate did by not just laying it out to him how wrong it was. But it was the right submission at the right place at the right time so that he could be what he was supposed to be. That's what God's looking for in life. The right submission in the right place at the right time so that we can be what we're supposed to be before the Lord. And this is a place where we struggle a lot of times as a Christian. All right? So lay that down. Leave it in his hands. Feed your enemy. Thirst. What does he need? Be willing to give it. Be willing to impart of yourself to others in life. Because ultimately, there was some time, I guarantee you, where somebody imparted to you, or you wouldn't be here. a lot of us are here because of the grace of God exhibited through people that we've hurt. I'm going to tell you, it's highly unlikely that that's, if we're of age and we've lived a while, it's highly unlikely that grace has not been extended to us in some way. And we don't have to know it. We can just be confident that probably has happened. So Lord, help us. That can be this. That's what we're called to be as well. And we can go to a lot of levels, but it's just what we're supposed to do. Just do it. Just be what we're supposed to be before the Lord and submit those things to Him. You never know. You know what? Those people that submitted their feelings and went ahead and did these things for us, what a difference it made in my life, but what a difference it made in theirs, that they didn't allow those things to get in the way of being what they were supposed to be. And you know what? There also, I need to say it here. It's kind of not really alluded to, but I'm going to say there's a lot of times where I didn't know some things when I got saved, and there are people who extended grace to me. They didn't sit down and tell me everything I was doing. It wasn't time for it in my life. They might have given me a hint here and there of things, but they extended some grace to me. It's not time to dress somebody up and down. It's rarely a place for that. There might be a little something to say, but just be what you're supposed to be in those times. And submit those things that you know that they're not doing to the Lord and pray about them. And be what you're supposed to be in the right place in the right time. It says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil of good. And if you're really struggling, it's a verse there he gave, so in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You know, when we get mature enough, that's not really what we want. If I'm really happy about that, then there's something I have to pray about a little bit more. Paul's just trying to get people to see the need to behave this way. All right? And so I wanted to read a verse in 1 Timothy. And this is a little bit of balance here for us, because I want it so clear that we're not talking about participation with things that we know are not right. We're talking about submission in the right way, the right place, at the right time. Okay, so let's look in 2 Timothy here. Or I'm sorry, it's 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter. All right. 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, and the 20th verse. It says, them that sin rebuke before all, that others may also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another. Do nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other man's sins. Keep thyself pure. And so, participation is not what we're talking about this morning. Make it clear what's right and wrong in your life, in the life of those you're responsible for. But as we're working together in the body, realize that it's not always the time. It's not always the place for everything. If there's sin, the Lord rebuked that. That's not what we're talking about this morning. That, like Jesus, when they came for the temple, for the tax, for the temple, Jesus looked at this. It's not a sin to give them some money for this tax. This isn't the way things should really be, but it's not a sin. So he get Peter to get money and go take care of it. It wasn't a sin for him to sit there and not answer Pilate's question. The right submission in the right place in the right time. All right, so keep thyself pure. All right. Be not a partaker in other man's sins. All right, so our last verse today is in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. First Peter 5 and the 5th verse says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble therefore yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, the Lord knows what the situation is. He knows what the truth is. He knows what you need to do and what you don't need to do in that situation. Ultimately, this is all pointing to a life that has to be lived in truth and spirit. We have to learn how to follow the leadings of the Lord. Are we really, if we're unsure about it, we want to be quiet. Because to just go out with truth and just lay truth out there, every bit of truth I know, is going to end up not accomplishing the work of the Lord. It's going to bring up hindrances. It's going to bring up problems. We need the Lord to help us to know how to have this balance in our life so that we're not causing issues. We're not causing problems. We're not putting up walls. We're not building separations. For us just to proclaim everything we know in every situation is not going to accomplish the will of the Lord. But for us to lay it down and not live to it and say, well, that must be the submission the Lord's asked. No, that's not it at all. But it's learning how to let the Lord lead us. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver, knowing when to speak, when to be quiet. And if we're unsure, prayer works. You know, prayer works. And we can submit to that. There's some things I'm really concerned about here in this situation. I don't see clear things to just say, wait a minute, this isn't right. And I don't understand about it totally, completely. I can pray. God is aware of everything that's going on. And again, that brings us back to the point. In all of this, what we're talking about is actually a submission to the Lord. It's behaving like he would have us to be so that his people can grow together and be builded together as a house unto the Lord. You pray for me.